Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and this morning's conversation is with Rob Carey, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Navy. Also joining us in our conversation is Bob Reeve, partner in IBM's DoD practice. Rob, we've all read that the DoD is transforming from a platform-centric to net-centric operations, and I would imagine, as a CIO, you're providing some of the key leadership in this regard. To this end, could you give us a brief overview of the Navy's IT strategic vision? Specifically, could you describe the vision that underlies and unifies your IT goals, and to what extent is this vision driven by the overarching DoD department-wide goals?
Al, yes, I can. I have been working in the CIO organization for over 8 years now, and believe it or not, the vision has been the same. The technologies have enabled us to move at different paces to achieve the vision, which is, you know, accessing information securely from anywhere at any time to support decision making, whether you're on the ground in Fallujah in a Marine Corps unit, or you're aboard a ship helping the folks in Burma, or you're at PAC Fleet on Oahu, that you can access the information that you need to make the decisions you need to make, and that the information is secure and trustworthy and so on and so on. What I call the information management value chain of how we get to information, how we exercise the information, and how we put back a business result, right, is the thing that we are trying to connect together and then drill into the various elements of to deliver that vision, deliver upon the vision that we've had. We see that there are things like service-oriented architectures out there that allow us to place information up for consumers to draw. However, you must change your applications in the way you access and intersect the information that you put up there. We have things like networks, and we have authoritative databases. We have security profiles. We have common access cards and PKI that all become elements of this information management value chain that allows us to now break down the components of accessing what I call the network to gain information to either conduct a transaction or to deliver a business result in such a way that it's the most efficient and effective, and also interoperates with our joint partners in the other services. So at the end of the day, you know, we have worked very long and hard. Most of the elements of the strategic plan that we have written have remained virtually stable, because they are the right things to do. The strategic plans are not things that flip-flop every 2 years. The Congress requires that we put a plan out every 2 years, and we do. But the elements are basically the same. The six goals in our strategic plan have only changed a little bit to take in some of the direction from the Secretary, the CNO, or the Commandant, and then embrace it as the Don's way ahead.
So with that overview, could you tell us a little bit more about your tactical approach as you have outlined in your CIO campaign plan? Specifically, to what extent does it detail those actions with the biggest impact in the shortest time frame, and how does it complement the Navy's IMIT strategic plan?
Sure. The campaign plan was something I wanted to write when I came back from Fallujah in April of 2007. And I wanted to take our strategic plan and break it down one more level of detail that there were deliverables on behalf of the department that we were willing to commit to. There are seven goals in the campaign plan. There are six in the strat plan. The seventh one that was called out, actually it's goal two in the campaign plan, is protect PII, personally identifiable information. The secretary asked me directly, you need to get on top of that. So I added that as a tactical goal that was achievable in my mind over a sort of a 500-day window. So I decided that I would produce a document and think through in each of these areas, one level down, what would we be working on at a fairly high level but still making a deliverable that reflected progress along what the strategic plan was looking for. And so therefore, the campaign plan was developed and promulgated at the end of the summer last year. Was intended to be a 500-day plan, which does coincide with the end of the administration, but that's purely coincidental. This is about the amount of time it's going to take to get these things done. This is when they are needed. We are and have checked off several of the deliverables in this plan, and we are on task and on schedule to complete a successful plan. In all likelihood, this fall, I will revisit this and rewicker it and institute yet another one that now will capture the next set of major adventures that we want to go do. And I will produce that plan after the new administration takes in or you know gets in place.
Rob, you've mentioned your time in Fallujah on active duty, and you are a Civil Engineering Corps officer in the Navy Reserve, and I would think that brings a unique perspective to your role. How's being the actual customer of IT at the tip of the spear, so to speak, influenced your current vision and tactics? What lessons have you learned from your frontline experience, and how has that changed the way you think about your job?
Bob, the privilege of serving right at the tip of the spear, where everything you do matters, had a profound effect on me, because you can sense the frustration of folks when things aren't working well. You can also sense the successes when things are working well in the communications IT space. I got to see the young sailors and Marines operating their systems at a level that I would not have expected. Watching a young Marine managing 15 chat sessions at once, where he would have had a bank of phones and he would have been a fairly busy guy, sitting at his workstation, really in great command and control of the knowledge of what was going on in those 15 places, wherever they may have been. So to observe that and then understand how is information technology supporting warfighting, that's our very basic mission, and how does it support decision-making? Watching generals making decisions to put Marines and sailors in harm's way based on the information they get, whether it's intelligence or it's a presentation or it is a point paper or what have you, was sort of bringing IT full circle for me. So it helped me understand the real consumption and how does any one person sitting at a workstation feed the machine, if you will, feed the warfighting engine. The other thing that it brought me, my service, was that things really show up on the battlefield slow. They do not show up at a speed that the commanding generals would like. And in my mind, just my mind, information technology is something that can be delivered more rapidly. We cannot deliver Apaches or Abrams tanks any faster than we are. IT solutions can be developed very rapidly and delivered very quickly to those who need them, which again provides better information, more integrated database information than was previously realizable, perhaps, to the warfighter to allow them to make better decisions and support better, more safer combat operations. So I saw a need for that that I would not have seen. And then seeing, again, the millennial generation fully engaged, operating IT systems that I would not have given them credit for being able to do, you know, successfully, as if it was just their job. It was just a piece of cake for them to do this, although they were downrange doing it.
You describe a world there that calls for open and accessible information at the battlefield. In my experience, information technology is an area sometimes noted for turf battles and proprietary views. Could you elaborate on your efforts to foster an enterprise view to IT, and could you elaborate on your efforts to enhance IT governance within your department?
IT governance is an issue of great debate right now, because there are things in Title 10, things in Title 40, that clearly delineate who does what or how things get done, but there is no precedence between the two, for example. And those are, Title 10 describes the responsibilities of the military departments and the DOD, and then Title 40 is the Clinger-Cohen Act, describes what CIOs do, for example. So as we foster and build enterprise alignment across the greater IT team, that allows us to get buy-in on enterprise approaches to IT systems and IT policy, aligning the acquisition with the resources, with the policy, with the requirements, and the operation is the task at hand right now. We have work to do in that space, but we operate pretty well today, but there's improvements we could make to make it a smoother transition. Whether you use proprietary software or you use open source software, they both have a fit. They both play roles in our world, and we can't jump to any one thing at any one time. It's not possible. What is possible is to make maximum use of the IT that you have to deliver, whether it's business value or warfighting value, and to continue to refine and reduce the IT spend such that the pointy end of the spear receives the vast amount of resources and the IT that runs the C2 and the back office activities are minimized.
Let's talk a little bit more about those resources. I understand your department's information technology capital investment portfolio is in the hundreds of millions of dollars. Would you elaborate on how you've strengthened your IT capital investment investment process to assure that investment decisions are mission-aligned and cost-justified? Specifically, how do you work with other elements in the Navy in managing an investment review process?
There's several layers from the DoD on down that we – several procedures that we follow. JCIDS is the Joint Capabilities Integration Development System that actually is the process by which we delineate requirements and validate and vet them. How we move through acquisitions and how we work with the acquisition team to deliver IT solutions is based upon, you know, the OPNAV staff and the CNO and the commandant of the Marine Corps and their staff work the requirements piece. They are the ones that are chartered to deliver what does this thing have to do. The acquisition team is chartered with determining how do I go buy what it is you need. We help in the IT space of setting the policy, the strategic direction, and help shape the solution side of, with the acquisition team, the requirements of what does that mean? What's the thing that we're going to get? We do have a portfolio management instruction that is in the signature cycle now, in the CHOP cycle, if you will, but it delineates how we're going to now continue to codify and structure the review of IT investments, similar to how DoD has their investment review boards, and create this structure by which we can enable the various mission areas to understand, review, and decide they want to continue to invest in what they are investing in today, and make sure, again, it's about alignment of do you understand which part of your portfolio you're investing in, and do you want to continue to do that? As we transform the department, this actually provides visibility into the spend, and the spend is, you know, the Department of Navy's IT budget, I believe, is on the Hill, is about $7.1 billion. So the review of that portfolio and the detailed understanding of it is important. While the IT budget has gone up a little bit, the Department of Navy's budget has gone up at a greater rate, so therefore the percentage that we spend on IT is smaller, and that's actually what you're looking for. And we still try to reduce our IT spend in support of the CNO and the Commandant so that we can buy ships and tanks.
So, Rob, I would imagine that there's probably a line a mile long in your office of folks wanting to show you some of the latest and greatest technologies. How do you take advantage of some of this R&D done both within the DoD as well as by commercial enterprises to solve some of your more pressing business and mission challenges? And how do you balance operating between bleeding-edge technologies versus some of the more proven technologies?
Al, we keep a close ear to the ground with respect to where is technology going. We visit companies visit me, but we have a pretty good understanding of what is state-of-the-art, what's going to be state-of-the-art, and then sort of what's exists now and is sort of getting long in the tooth, which presents an opportunity to you to think about, can I do that better? What I use the Federal CIO Best Practices Committee. I'm a co-chair of that. I use my own industry site visits to sort of gain this fundamental understanding of what technologies deliver what business results. When people come to my office and want to talk to me about technology, I ask them to talk to their technology in the context of a business problem that I have. If they can't do that, then there's probably a challenge right away, even though I am sure that the technology works. It has to be delivered in the context of a problem that we have. And then I can understand the business case and the ROI, much as anyone in industry would go to their boss and say, don't you want to invest in this? I think the boss would say, well, yes, I do, but show me how this pays off and when. So we keep an ear to these things and we embrace them and push those ideas and technologies into those solution sets, whether it's at ONR or the acquisition research guys, and make sure that they are aware of the capabilities of certain tool sets out there, which continue to evolve. Things change so rapidly, it is hard to put a peg in the ground and stay stable. But that being said, with an 800,000-person organization, we have to put our peg in the sand at the appropriate location to take advantage of technology, but it has to be have the kinks worked out before we get there. We have places that will take advantage of bleeding-edge technology and evaluate them for us. But by and large, if it is going to be an enterprise solution, it's going to take time to roll it out anyway. So I have to sort of balance the two between my desire to have the latest and greatest thing and the stability of the enterprise.
So along similar lines, let's talk for a moment about NMCI, which I understand is the largest intranet in the world. Could you tell us just a little bit about the plans for the next generation enterprise network, otherwise known as NGEN? To what extent does this look to fill some of the gaps that exist in connectivity between the warfighter and CONUS and the afloat forces?
The follow-on to NMCI, termed NGEN, is a network environment that we want to build that we believe will continue to unify the Navy Marine Corps team in a consistent environment that allows us to access information from anywhere and be able to make decisions from anywhere. So we see the attributes that we want to build in are things that we build upon our successes from NMCI. We will make sure where we stubbed our toe on NMCI that we don't do that again. We've written a strategy document, the NNE, Naval Network Environment 2016, that sort of lays out in broad terms where we intend to go. One of the tenets of that is really about information technology is so critical to the success of the Department of the Navy, the Navy Marine Corps team, that we want to have a stronger role in that than we had with our NMCI partners. At the time the NMCI was deployed, we made the decisions that were proper at that time. It is many years later, and when you revisit those decisions, you could possibly change them, and that's where we think we're going to go into a much stronger government role. So we think that connecting and creating this seamless network environment and eliminating legacy networks and rolling them in and creating this process that allows us to manage information across a homogeneous environment will better serve the warfighters.
Great. What about the Department of the Navy's IT security efforts? We will ask Robert Carey, Chief Information Officer at the U.S. Department of the Navy, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.